turn to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. I'm on the way to church tonight. My wife said, you get to preach on your birthday. I said, yeah, you get to preach about ants on your birthday. How lucky. What a blessing that is. We're going to read about ants. And it's the season for ants. We have a lot of ants in our yard. And they're all over the place, it seems. But let's read about it. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6. It says, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Bugs are sometimes used in comparison to humans to show the extreme differences that there are between humans and bugs, and in our abilities and our strengths. We have phrases like, I'm going to squash you like a bug. It's not hard to squash a bug, and it's pretty destructive when you squash a bug. They are dead. Quite emphatically, we might say, well, they have the attention span of a gnat. You ever heard that one? It's not a compliment. I wouldn't recommend using that with your friends. But we're comparing ourselves with bugs and showing the big disparity here. You might have heard this, a little bit more humorous. That happened back when I was knee-high to a grasshopper. I was very short, in other words, and showing the difference between humans and bugs. And bugs annoy us, some more than others. Some are petrified by certain bugs. We hold them in disdain, don't we? We look down on them. And I doubt that you get a bad attitude, like you just see a bug and it makes you angry and proud. I'm not, but just a general attitude. Sometimes we don't even notice them. We don't even think about them because we are on a much higher plane. We are so much better than that. And we look down on them. We'd rather not even notice them, much less be bothered by them, which makes it more troublesome when they do bother us. And as I said, ants, we have ants in our yard, and it's hard to get rid of those things. And you can do what you can do, and then they just come right back and start building again, and they're pests. They're called pests for a reason. But Solomon, in these verses, recommends a much different attitude than that for us when it comes to ants. And so I want to ask you tonight, will you learn from ants? Will you learn from ants? Because the Lord can help us to learn from even the very humblest of his creatures. The most insignificant. What is an ant? It's insignificant, right? No, it can be a teaching tool. An ant can have a spiritual effect in your life, which I think is a wonderful use for an ant. It's nothing, but God can use even nothing like this. That's something like a bug to teach us and draw us closer to him. Let's pray, and we'll see what we can learn from ants. Lord, thank you for the great teaching tools that are in your creation. Lord, everything that you made bears your fingerprints. And Lord, man is a privileged creature. We are made in the image of God, and we know that not all created things have the same value, the same purpose, but you do have a purpose for everything you have made. And so we thank you that you are able and willing to teach us using even ants if we are willing to learn. Help us to draw nearer to you tonight, Jesus. Are ants wiser than you? I want us to do some self-examination for a few minutes. Are ants wiser than you? It would be easy to assure ourselves that no, they are not. I am a little bit smarter, at least, than an ant. But I think it's better for us to go to the Lord with the same question as the 11 apostles asked Christ. when he said someone would betray them. Really, all 12 did. One of them it was true of. Matthew 26:21, they were eating, and Jesus said, "Verily I say to you, that one of you shall betray me." And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say to him, "Lord, is it I? Can I learn from an ant? I might think that I am wiser, but maybe I'm not." The word sluggard, Solomon says in Proverbs 6, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard." The ant is a prescription for the sluggard, to help the sluggard. The sluggard is a person who is habitually lazy, idle, and inactive. Are you a sluggard? And you might say, "Well, no, I don't think so. I can't think of any of you that I would call a sluggard." But I was thinking about, how do you measure this? How do you know if you're not a sluggard, or if you are? How if you say you're not, if I say I'm not, what would I use to measure that? How do you measure how much inactivity makes you a sluggard? Well, it has to be 5 hours a day. 4.5, no. But 5 hours, yes. Where's the line? How much laziness makes you a sluggard? How much idleness qualifies as habitual? Well, a habit is something that's repeated. How many times do you have to repeat it? Where do we draw these lines? I think that, as the Bible says, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. We can be a sluggard with our day. We can be a sluggard with our life, and it may not be a sluggard compared to the next person, but we ought to ask the question, "Lord, is it I?" And why is this important? Well, turn over to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And we'll see the importance of not being a sluggard. It's critically important that we not be a sluggard. And if you are, you ought to go to the ant. And we'll all go to the ant tonight. We'll all see some things to learn. But we must not be a sluggard. Ephesians 5:13. Says, "But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light." I'm so thankful the light of God's word that makes manifest things in our life. Learn to embrace that if you haven't already. Learn to crave that. "Lord, make things manifest, because I want the wrong things out. I want to root them out. I want to know the truth. Shine the light in my life." It's a wonderful thing. Verse 14, "Wherefore, he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then, that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." Circumspectly, you're paying attention, you're walking carefully. Walk circumspectly, as a wise person does, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. "Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." What makes a sluggard? Well, it's someone who doesn't redeem the time. It's someone who doesn't use the time properly. It's someone who doesn't understand what the will of the Lord is. I think it's very sad if we know what God wants us to do, and we're just lazy. We're a sluggard and we're disobedient. It's the will of the Lord that we be busy, that we be productive, that we spend our lives the way He wants them to be spent. And the exact details differ from life to life, from person to person. But we ought to be busy and occupied. We only have a few years on this earth, and we need to redeem the time. Colossians 4:5 says, "Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time." We mentioned in prayer requests a dear man who recently passed away. He used to be here in this church. A neighbor of ours, a former neighbor of ours, when I was growing up, recently passed away. I was sad to hear about that. And it just reminds me of the brevity of life. Just a few years and it's over. And we're all at different stages. But from the youngest ones here to the oldest ones, we need to remember that life is brief. We need to redeem the time. If we will ignore our own opinion of ourselves, usually we have a good opinion. Sometimes you can have a bad opinion of yourself. You need to listen to God's opinion, God's instruction. You need to ignore others' opinion, good or bad, And instead, if we listen to God's instruction, we will continue to grow and bear more fruit for God. We need to redeem the time so that we can do this. Let's put aside our own opinion, which is often full of pride. Let's put aside others' opinion, which can be flattery, it can be critical. Let's listen to what God has to say. Let's grow and bear more fruit because we need to redeem the time. Turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Again, this first part is self-examination. Solomon says, go to the end, thou sluggard. Well, I'm not a sluggard. I don't need this. No, instead, Lord, is it I? What do you want me to learn from an ant? I might think they have nothing to teach me. I am so far ahead of ants in wisdom. I would hope so, but maybe not. And there are blessings. Again, God created the ants, and he has things to teach us. James 1, verse 22. It says, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. It's easy to be a hearer. You can come to church every week and be a hearer. It's much harder to be a doer. It's easy to be a reader of the word and not a doer. Well, I read my Bible every day. Well, but how do you apply it? How do I apply it? Do I live it? Or do I just read it, say, that's nice, close my Bible, and then go and do what I was going to do anyway? Be ye doers of the word. Lord, what do you want for me? What do you want to change in my life through this time in your word? Verse 23, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in the glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. I'm ashamed to think about how many times in my life I have sat down in the morning with my Bible and I read it and I enjoy it. I'm not trying to disregard it or ignore it. And I close my Bible and walk away, and I have no idea 10 minutes later what I read. I couldn't tell you. I couldn't praise the Lord, what God showed me. I couldn't obey it. I've forgotten all about it. We can listen to a message, listen to a sermon, and do the same thing. We forget all about it. We listened, but it didn't do anything. Verse 25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. God can teach you to do this. There's a saying that you can't teach an old dog new tricks. And you might say, well, this is just a pattern in my life. This is just how I am. And I try, but this is the best I can do. God can teach you. God can change you. This is, the Bible says, we ought to be this way. We ought to be not just a giver, but a doer. And God can change you into a doer if you're not. I'm thankful for that. Are you willing to do some self-examination? Are you willing for God to reveal any sluggard traits that maybe you have in yours? I hope not. But I think they can creep into any of our lives. Sluggard traits. So let's do some self-examination. Let's go to Proverbs 6 and see some things to learn from ants. I want to talk for a minute about what it takes to learn wisdom from ants. Is it hard? Does it take effort? Well, let's see. Proverbs 6, verse 6. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways, and be wise. Very simple. Go to the ant, consider her ways, and be wise. Very simple process. All it takes, what does it take to learn wisdom from ants? Well, it takes a little bit of effort. Solomon says, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Ants are everywhere. It's not hard to find them. And I might be wrong. I don't know all the species of ants. I know that, I think termites are a species of ant. I'm thankful we don't have any of those here. Especially termites, they will come find you. If you live in a nice wooden house with them to eat, they will come find you. You can't get away from them. You go outside, ants are everywhere. Stand in the lawn, you stand on the sidewalk, you take a walk for a minute down the sidewalk, you'll find an ant hill. They're everywhere. It doesn't take you but a little bit of effort to find ants. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Oh, that just sounds like so much work. No, even a sluggard can go to the ant, because ants are everywhere. It's hard to escape them. Especially, just leave out some sugary food. We'll be at camp in a couple of weeks. Just leave out some fruit or a donut or something, and they'll come find you. They'll be your best friend. It's not hard to find them. Go to camp. It just takes a little bit of effort. A sluggard can struggle to do anything that's hard, and so they don't even try. But going to camp isn't hard. If you are willing to learn from the ants, and you'll go to them, you will learn from them. I'm thankful that ants have got to. It doesn't take much effort, just a little bit of effort. It just takes a little bit of time. He says, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways. I'm sure you've watched ants before. And you go outside, and you look down at the ground, and you see them. And you could stand in one place and watch an ant walk around for 5 minutes. They don't go very fast. A long distance for them is not long for you, and it takes just a little bit of time to consider her ways. It doesn't take long to understand what an ant is up to. Her objectives are not complicated. She's looking for food, and then she brings it back to the ant. If you don't consider her ways, it's more reflective of your unwillingness, not your ability. Very simple, very easy task to go to the ant. Consider her ways. It doesn't take much, just a little bit of time. It also takes just a little bit of desire. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways, and be wise. Just a little bit of desire. Okay, well, I see what she's doing. What now? Well, let's think about it a little bit. Just a little bit of desire. Do you want to be wise? Do you want to have some wisdom? Just go to the ant and think about what she's doing a little bit. And you'll gain in wisdom. I'm thankful that the kingdom of God and his righteousness are so simple, even a child can understand it. Even a child can understand it. I would ask you to pray for Junior Camp if you want already. It's a great time to teach wisdom to children. And it's really not that hard to bring the Bible down to their level, because God made it simple. And it's a great time to teach and preach children on their level all week long. And they're able to really soak it in. Be in prayer for Junior Camp if you would. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Very simple, simple concept. Seek God first, and God will take care of you. It's not hard to become wise when we consider biblical principles. Matthew 18, if you would. Matthew 18. Simple concept. If you're going to go to the ant and be wise, what does it take to learn from the ant? Just a little bit of time, a little bit of effort, a little bit of desire. It's not very hard, and you can learn. I was thinking about the bees this morning. Another simple creature, just a dumb little creature, right? Well, they have a lot of wisdom and a lot of glory to give God if we're willing to consider them. I'm thankful for that. Matthew 18:1, it says, at the same time, came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and said, in the midst of them, and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. Children are a good picture of the kind of people we ought to be. Not children in foolishness, children in rebellion, children in simplicity. God's truth is very simple. You can learn wisdom from the ant if you just have even a little bit of desire. Go to 2 Kings chapter 5. I think of this passage, and I don't know for sure, but I wonder if the comparison here in 2 Kings 5 is symbolic as well as descriptive. 2 Kings 5, verse 10, this is the story of Naaman. He goes to Elisha to be healed of his leprosy. And verse 10, 2 Kings 5, verse 10, it says, and Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. He doesn't even come out and talk to him. He just sends a messenger. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, "Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash and then be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith thee, wash and be clean?" Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Now that's descriptive. A child's flesh is unblemished. It's healthy. There are all kinds of aging results that comes to our flesh over the years. So this is descriptive, but I wonder if it's symbolic as well. Naaman wanted something dramatic. He wanted to do something great. He wanted this to be a really remarkable healing miracle, and all that was needed for him was just to obey like a child would. Go wash in Jordan. Okay, yes, sir. Hey, God did his work. And it wasn't until he finally humbled himself and obeyed simply like a child, that was when he saw God work. All it takes to learn from an ant is a little bit of effort, a little bit of time, a little bit of desire. Just simply respond. So let's go back to Proverbs with the remainder of our time, and we'll see 3 lessons from ants. 3 things that we see in the ant that we need to learn, we need to have a part of our life. Proverbs chapter 6. Here are some lessons from ants. The first one is humility. You're going to be taught humility if you are willing to go to the ant and learn. You're going to say, okay, there is something for me to learn, even from an ant. I am not too highly developed. I am not too mature. I am not too intelligent to learn from an ant. I'm going to lower myself and go out to one of God's humblest creatures and learn. Are you willing to learn some humility and go to the ant and be taught? Proverbs 15:33 says, "The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility." We like to skip the honor. Just give me the honor. I'll do some great thing, and you can honor me, and then I'll be happy. But before honor is humility. We need to humble ourselves. Proverbs 22:4, it says, "By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life." It's right there. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Okay, well, if I'm going to go to the ant and be willing to learn, it's because I'm humbling myself, and I fear God enough to believe that he put his wisdom in a little ant. By humility and fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. If we will learn these lessons from the ants, if we will learn humility, an ant is not braggadocious. I've talked to the ants plenty of times. I've never heard them brag on themselves. They always praise each other. They're never boastful. No, I'm just kidding. But ants are very humble and very lowly. They're insignificant. They're nothing. We can learn humility from the ants. 1 Peter 5:5 says, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble." Adam and Eve saw their need for clothing after they sinned, and God places great store by modesty and covering what ought to be covered. Humility is a good picture of clothing. We ought to cover ourselves with humility. God resists those who don't. I've heard people say, "Well, I have pride," and I've never asked them to explain this, but I remember thinking similar things too. And the way I thought of it, and maybe you think of it this way too at times, is, you know, in the whole of my life, there are times when there's pride lurking here or lurking there, and you know, I feel like I've got a pretty good handle on it for the most part, but it can crop up here and there. I've come to believe that pride is woven into our very, the very fiber of our being. It's always there. It's always beneath the surface, at least. It's not just, I have some pride. It's not just, once in a while, pride rears its head. It is an ever-present danger. It is always there threatening, and I need to be constantly humbling myself. I have been appalled at how quickly my flesh will rise up in pride. It doesn't take much at all. Just the least little thing, and pride starts to come right back up again. And we ought to repent immediately. But you and I firmly believe this. I don't have a verse to tell you this. But I firmly believe that you and I will never be free of pride until we do this life. It is inherent in all of us. It is ever present. And God can give us victory. I'm not saying you can't have victory. It being there and lurking is not the same thing as it taking control. But we ought never to think that we are beyond its reach and we don't have to worry about it anymore. It is always there. We ought to always be clothed with humility. God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. God's grace is a great honor. Remember before, honor is humility. God's grace to us is a great honor. And the world doesn't see it that way. But to have God's grace, Paul said, this thorn in the flesh, God's grace was ever present for me, and his grace is greater, and so I'll live with this thorn, and I'll glory in my infirmities because I have God's grace. What an honor that is. God's help every single day to live the way I ought. That's a thrilling honor. Humility is a small price to pay for that honor. We ought to be humble. The ant is humble, are we? Let's look at the second lesson from an ant. Proverbs 6:6, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest. The second lesson I see here is urgency. The ants don't have a king. They don't elect a Congress. They don't have a taskmaster who's cracking the whip over their head. They do not have external accountability. But they are still focused. And God gave them this. I know they're not spiritual beings. I know they're not sentient beings like we are in that sense. But they are focused. God has given them urgency to complete their task. A guide, Solomon says, ant doesn't have a guide, overseer, or ruler. And these are all different terms for the same basic idea. But a guide shows the way. A guide instructs and teaches. A guide says, we're going to go this way. This is the direction we want to go. An overseer coordinates and facilitates. Hey, let's send so-and-so to do that job. No, you come over here and do this. Let's work together here. And oversees it all and it all moving smoothly. A ruler gives judgments and rulings for offenses and disagreements, and humans need all of these things. Ants don't. And there are many reasons for that, of course, but Solomon is drawing out something here. In spite of the fact that ants do not have guides, overseers, or rulers, they provide their meat in the summer and gather their food in the harvest. They have urgency. If you and I have urgency in our life, a biblical sense of urgency, all of these different needs in our life, in a spiritual, I'm going to speak to a church here, in a church sense, it can meet all of these needs. Urgency will drive you to seek out teaching and instruction. Lord, I'm living this each day. I only have a few years left. I want to make every day count. I want to redeem the time. I want to be fruitful. I want to do the most that you will allow me to do for you. I want to fulfill your will perfectly. I feel some urgency here. I need to be taught. I need to be instructed. I'm not content with where I'm at. How can I grow? I feel some urgency. I'm not talking about panic. I'm not talking about fear. I'm talking about urgency. Urgency will make you reject a tunnel vision in your life and see God's view of it instead. It's easy to get focused on one thing, and an overseer would say, hey, let's not get too focused on this over here. This is also important. Let's keep the big picture in mind. And we can go to the Lord and say, am I keeping the right picture in mind? I think about childbirth is very important in this way. Because we can get into the daily grind of raising children, and we forget where we ought to go. We can fixate on smaller, less important things and miss the bigger things. And it's good for us to say, Lord, am I missing the big picture? Ask counselors, ask authorities, is there something I'm missing here? Am I getting off into the woods a little bit sincerely, but mistakenly? Urgency will liberate you from selfishness and pettiness and seek peace and restoration instead. Well, I'm right, you might be. But is it more important to be right in an insignificant or unimportant thing? Is it more important to be right or to be at peace among yourselves? Be clothed with humility. We can't afford to waste time fighting and striving and being discontented and being frustrated and fretting against the Lord. We can't afford to waste time doing that. We have to be urgent. There's just a few years left in our lives. We need to be busy working while we can work. The Bible calls us to urgency. John chapter 9, verse 4, Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Turn to James chapter 4. We're almost finished here. James chapter 4. We must be urgent. Not afraid, not frantic, not panicked, but urgent. God doesn't want us to be a sluggard. He doesn't want us to be running around like a headless chicken. We ought to be busy. I don't think the Lord was frantic in anything that he did in his ministry. I don't think he was idle either. And we ought to be urgent. We ought to be busy and occupied. James 4:10, it says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother, speaketh evil of the law, judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. So that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And when we hold ourselves, and by God's grace, when God holds us accountable to that verse, it will give us courage. Knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. We need to be urgent. You can write this reference down if you're taking notes. 1 Thessalonians 5, 1-8. We need to be urgent because the Lord is coming back. He will come as a thief in the night. We need to be ready. We need to be busy witnessing. What about that person you know? What if they go off into eternity? Have you given them the gospel? Have you witnessed to them? Have you prayed for them? We need to be urgent doing these things. Let's go back to Proverbs 6, and we'll see the last thing briefly. Proverbs chapter 6. Lessons from an ant. Humility. Urgency. She's working in the summer. She's always busy. Always going somewhere because she needs to redeem the time. Winter is coming. She needs to gather food. We need to be urgent. There's also simplicity. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest. The ant isn't interested in personal popularity. She's not interested in the scores from the World Series, or setting high scores in a video game. The ants are concerned about basic, important things, like having enough to eat. They know that they have limited time to accomplish what is truly important, and so they are busy doing it while they can. It's good to have a simple approach to life. What's most important here? What is necessary? I don't have time, and you don't either, to give my time to everything possible, everything that's out there. I have to be selective. What's important here? Let's keep it simple. Simplicity, things like Ecclesiastes 12:13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. That is a simple statement, simple picture. Let's focus on the simplicity of it. Micah 6:8, he hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. The ant has a simple existence, and so should we. Psalm 19:14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 10, if you would. Just a simple, simple summary of life. Deuteronomy 10, verse 12. More and more I appreciate the simplicity of a life spent serving God. We complicate our lives and just make them so complex, and it becomes very hard to obey the Lord and know his will when things are complex. It's good to have a simple life. Deuteronomy 10:12. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. You don't have to have that next nicer house. You don't have to have those fun toys or those expensive cars or those exotic hobbies. You don't have to have those things. The great things that give real lasting joy are not found in money or in extra spare time or in those attractive, flashy things that the world glorifies. You can live a simple life and be happier than the world with all of their extra things. In Matthew 22, we see the simplicity, verses 36 to 40, familiar passage. Jesus says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Just two. Simple. An ant lives a simple life. There's a lot of wisdom to that. I have found that as my life has been simplified, as I've stripped out the unnecessary things that really just end up frustrating me because I give them some kind of value, but they're not very important, and so I have to give time to other things, and so they're there nagging at me, being left undone, and frustrating me because I don't have time for them, and then you can feel like a failure. And as I strip those things out and just simplify my life, I become a lot calmer and happier and more restful and satisfied and content. And I realize, I see the attraction to those things, but they're not necessary at all. I'm so glad I got rid of them. Simplicity. A sluggard. What makes a sluggard a sluggard? Well, I think a sluggard is proud. He needs to humble himself in order to learn from the ants. By contrast, a humble person is willing to do any task. A sluggard is selfish. He has to be convinced that the job is worth it. He might think that he suffers from laziness, but really he's lifting himself up, saying, I am above most things that everybody else does. I don't have to do that. I'm not going to do that. A selfless person works with urgency on the simple things. If they see a job, they just get started and do it. Let's go back to Proverbs 6, and we see the end of the sluggard. Solomon is warning the sluggard, you don't have to end up like this. Verse 9, how long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. A sluggard can't be bothered getting out of bed. I think it's possible to be a sluggard and simply because you hit the snooze a couple of times. We can fall into that. A sluggard is also empty. Verse 11 says, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. You'll have nothing. That laziness will leave you empty. His pride and selfishness, a sluggard's pride and selfishness, will make him destitute. Do you have extra to give to others, or do you expect others to give to you? Luke 6:38 tells us about a giving spirit. It says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Giving is a great blessing, but a sluggard is empty. He doesn't have anything to give. 1 Corinthians 15:58 is a good challenge. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, that's not a sluggard. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, that's what we ought to be. Turn to Luke 14 and we'll be done. The ants example is more applicable to Christian life than maybe it seems at first glance. The ant exemplifies a lot of things that should be in our lives. Luke 14, verse 26. Jesus gives this challenge to his listeners. Luke 14, 26. He says, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. If you don't love me far above anyone else, you can't be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. There's simplicity here. What is going to make our life successful and worthwhile in the sense of how we used our time? It's going to be whether or not we're Christ's disciple, whether or not we follow him. Very simple. And there's humility here. It takes humility to pick up the cross. It's a simple, humble life. And there is urgency because he says, whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. We can go to the ants. We can learn. There's plenty to learn from the ants, from all of God's people. Will you learn from them? Solomon, the wisest man, we would say, the wisest mortal who ever lived, directs us by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, directs us